Happy Thursday morning, everybody. I'm Eddie Lawrence, and it's my joy to share with you a few minutes this morning from God's Word. And we are doing a little series around the idea, how can I know God's will? And this is day three on that subject, and we'll get back to it in just a couple of moments. Normally, my sweetheart and the love of my life, Mickey, my wife, is with me, but she is on Nana duty today in Madison. So I miss her, and I know you do as well. But we will be studying God's Word together, and I'm going to be going back to our foundational text for this series, if you will, out of 1 John chapter 5 in a moment. Hey, Gary and Susie and Jana, blessings to you. Thank you for being on here today. It's always good to see you guys. You are so faithful. I just pray God blesses you. And thank you to all of you who have joined with us live, and as well as those who watch this later. And we are grateful the Lord's given us the opportunity to have this form of media. Hey, Gary and Mary, blessings to you. To have this form of media to share with. And it's kind of a different day that we're living in. How can I know God's will? 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." So here we see that we're told in our prayer life to, if we ask anything according to his will. So God does have a will. Just like you have a will, you have desires. God has a will. God has desires. So it's so important that we learn what are the desires that are in God's heart, what he wills, because it's always the best path for us to live. We saw how that Jesus, his life was to do the will of the Father. We saw the Holy Spirit in our lives. He prays for us according to the will of God, prays through us. We saw that the Bible teaches that God wants us to know his will. We've also seen that we need our minds renewed, Romans 12, 1 and 2, so that we can know that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. And then yesterday, we kind of merged into a series of scriptures just to show some verses that really say, this is God's will for you. This is God's will for you. And we saw that it's God's will for people to be saved. We saw that it's his will that we give thanks in all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. We saw that it's God's will for us to be sanctified. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. We also saw that it's God's will for us to serve our generation out of Acts 13:36. And that brings us to the fifth thing in our list of scriptures we're looking at that kind of say this is God's will. The next one is in Galatians 1:4. And we see here that it is his will for us to be delivered from this present age. Here's the scripture, Galatians 1:4. Speaking of Jesus, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. You hear that? It was the will of God our Father for Jesus to give himself for our sins, in order that he might deliver us from this present evil age. Now that could be a series just in and of itself. The idea of what it means when it says here that we are to be delivered from this present evil age. Well, first we know that it's God's will for us to be delivered from this present evil age. That's what it says. Secondly, we know that Jesus' purpose in coming and giving himself for our sins, the causal effect of that was so that we might be delivered from this present evil age. And we also know that this idea presents to us, this present evil age, can have kind of a microscopic idea and a macroscopic idea, if you will. And here's what I mean by that. It means that we are to be delivered from the sin that's present in us because of the world in which we live, that's under the sway of the curse. And a bigger picture idea also is that this age is different than the age that is to come. When Jesus comes back in all of his glory and ushers in a new day, ushers in a new age, it will be an age where sin is no longer present. It will be eternity. There will be a new heaven. There will be new earth. In other words, God destined us to live eternally with him. That's his original plan for humanity, to know him, to worship him, to be his under regents in the realm of earth. We see that in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, that man was created to have dominion, to be fruitful, to multiply. He walked with God in the cool of the garden. But then sin came, the curse of sin came, and that then set in the motion an eternal plan of God. Jesus was the lamb slain from the foundation of the earth for the restoration of all things. That is, for things to be restored. What sin has done, what curse has wrought upon mankind, for all of that to be remedied and restored. So Jesus came to bear our sins and to give himself for us, to deliver us from this age in which sin has taken over and the curse has spoiled everything and brought corruption into the world, where the fallen angel Lucifer and his minions, the demons, are warring against God's people, and where there's temptation and where there's wickedness and where there's sickness and there's poverty and there's death and so forth. All of that's part of this present evil age. But what Jesus did on the cross has set in motion a culmination of events that, when it is complete, there will be no more sin, there will be no more curse, there will be no more, if you will, bad stuff, but we will be in an age of eternity where we're with God the Father. Satan is forever cast away, and oh, how awesome that is going to be. So your salvation is part of that, but you were saved that you might participate in that ultimately, that you might know God and serve him and love him and adore him and worship him forever, because that is why you were created. So that's the big picture idea, and maybe that's a little more than I needed to say in this idea of what God's will is, but that's the big picture of what the will of God is. And so it's God's will that we be delivered from this present evil age. But what that might look like in your immediate circumstance is where you're battling over an area of temptation or an area of failure or a habit, hurt, hang up, an unhealed hurt. And there's just warfare, and you need to be rescued. You need to be delivered because you're an overcomer. And so when your mind becomes transformed and you become submissive to the Holy Spirit and know the power of God's word and power of God's spirit and who you are in Christ and the power of his blood, then you can overcome and know victory in the present situation, in the middle of this present age. You can live a victorious, overcoming life, but it's going to go to a whole new level at the consummation of this age, when he ushers in his eternal kingdom. Wow, there's so much there, but I've got to hasten on. The next one is, it is God's will for us to bear witness to his greatness through miracles and spiritual gifts. I like this one. Listen to Hebrews 2:4. God also, and I'm picking up in the middle of a thought, but we're going to focus on the will of God that's mentioned here. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. So there is the writer of Hebrews is setting forth Jesus and his finished work, and he's our great high priest and his supremacy over all the angels and everything else, how God has spoken to us in his last days through his son. That message all has been attested to through the apostles and those who work with him, his church, through bearing witness with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. And I'll tell you something, God still wills. It's still his desire for the name of his son to be magnified and for him to bear witness to his power and the supremacy of his son through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, through signs, wonders, and miracles. Yes, those still happen today. I find no credence in Scripture in any way for me to have any confidence that that age is past. No, we're in this present evil age, and we still need that present supernatural power available through the presence of the Holy Spirit, who gives his presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, his presence, P-R-E-E-N-S-E-C-E. I'm mixing my spelling up here, but there's the presence, like a Christmas present, his presence, he's with us. Those are his gifts. So all of that is for now in this present age. So I didn't mean to be confusion there between presence and P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. Presence. Okay. He's present with us, and he brings presence with him. Amen. Signs, wonders, miracles, and spiritual gifts. And this was all done according to God's will. And and Jesus told his disciples, go and preach this gospel to all the nations, and I will confirm that work with signs following. And he'd already talked about some of those signs. I'll speak in new tongues. You'll trample on serpents and not be hurt. And you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed. And yes, I believe that is still for today. I believe that is God's will for today. There's still people that have never heard. And there are people who still need that touch on God's life. You may need that today, and may he touch you powerfully. Yes, the church is still energized, empowered, and to be led by the Holy Spirit. So it's God's will to bear witness to his greatness through these miracles and spiritual gifts. The seventh thing, it is God's will for us to endure and receive his promises. Notice Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of endurance so that you, after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Sometimes we struggle. Why isn't anything happening? I've been fighting. I've been battling and trying to persevere. Well, this scripture teaches us you just keep doing the will of God. You keep enduring, and after you've done the will of God, you'll receive the promise. If we're not receiving it, there may still be something yet to be done to fulfill all God's will in that circumstance or situation. And I've learned across the years of my ministry and my walk with the Lord and the ups and downs and ins and outs that sometimes God's just doing stuff, even in other people, you can't move forward because the will of God needs to be accomplished in their life. Or what he has waiting for you, he's still working on that. So you're still having to move toward it because it's not ready yet. A door's got to open. Someone's heart's got to shift. A supply needs to be put in place. We look through a glass darkly, but God is doing so many, very many things. And so we keep enduring. We keep doing the will of God, doing the next right thing, doing what we know to be the will of God by the revelation of Scripture, knowing what we know to be the will of God by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. All those things work together. And after having done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. So don't be weary in well-doing. In due season, you will reap if you faint not. It is God's will for us to endure, do his will, and receive the promise. That's this an axiom we find in Scripture. It's a way that we can process life. Yes, there's seasons of enduring and just doing the will of God and knowing the promise will be received. So that's so very, very important. Hebrews 10:36. Let me go to another one, the eighth one in my list here. It is God's will to do good in the face of evil. Now, I may have already mentioned this, but it bears repeating. Doing God's will is not always an easy thing to do. Sometimes you may not even like doing it, but our obedience is called for. In 1 Peter 2:15, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. 1 Peter 3:7, for it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. 1 Peter 4:19. Peter must have had to deal with a lot of this, right? 1 Peter 4:19, therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Now that last verse there, I don't see any way around this, folks. Sometimes doing the will of God involves suffering. He says that, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God. Therefore, there must be some people who suffer according to the will of God because they're doing the will of God. Because they're deciding to do what God's desires dictate. Because they understand the will of God and they're doing it in the face of persecution, tribulation, and trial. They suffer. It says they commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. It kind of goes along with what we just covered about the receiving the promise at by enduring. So sometimes doing God's will can be a tough thing. It's not always a joyful thing. You know, Jesus, when he went to the cross, he did it for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. He despised the shame, and he suffered and humbled himself to death, even the death of the cross. Sometimes before we get to the joy, there's suffering. Sometimes before we receive the promise, there's hardship. But yet, when you back up and look at it, you know, I'm doing the will of God here. This is the right thing to do. This is the will of God. And so, are you saying that it's God's will that we suffer? I'm saying that doing God's will can bring suffering. Sometimes it's surrounded by suffering. And then in the middle of suffering, we still do the will of God. So you can't to say that if you're in the will of God, that means you never suffer is unscriptural. Even to say, well, if you're living by faith, bless God, you'll never have to suffer. Oh, dear friend, what scriptures are you reading from? I know after endurance and doing the will of God, you obtain the promise. You receive the promise. So you've got to take scripture and compare it to scripture and hold it in balance. There's two oars in this boat of the Christian life. There's faith, and then there is the faith, and then there's doing the will of God. All that's in the idea that faith is always a real happy, joyful thing. You're to give thanks in the middle of whatever you're going through. We've seen that. You're to rejoice. You can rejoice even when you're suffering, because no matter how much you're suffering, there's things that Christ has done for you and that Christ has waiting for you that no amount of suffering can ever take away from you. I'm not advocating to choose the road of suffering for suffering's sake by any stretch of the imagination. But I'm just speaking to people out there today who's going through a hard time. And as far as you know, you're doing God's will. You've loved God. You're serving God. And it's like it's just tough. And you're going through tough times and you're having to endure. And somebody might be trying. I've seen people almost condemn people a lot. Well, you just don't have enough faith. And when I've been in circumstances, well, I know people are believing and they've been fighting the good warfare. You know, when the sword fell across Paul's shoulders, he's the one that says, I fought the good fight and I've kept the faith and I've finished my course. I don't like seeing people using some scripture to try to negate other scriptures. You've got to hold all of it in your hands before God and know it's the Word of God. And sometimes you don't even know how to put it together and you don't know how to make sense of it. But you trust God and you endure and you do the will of God and you know He's a faithful Creator. He can be trusted. He'll work all things together for good. And in saying that, I'm saying you keep believing God. You keep doing what's right. You keep trusting God. Don't you allow the devil to try to take your circumstances and convince you that God is not good, or that God has somehow forgotten you, or that God has somehow abandoned you. Dear believing child of God, know that God sees what you can't see and He knows what you don't know, and He is trustworthy. Because life is hard. Life is hard. And I've just seen this too many times. And I've been at the bedside of people I know love God and live for Christ and are contending. I always tell our people, you know, when they come to our night of healing, we're going to contend with you and we're going to war for you. And sometimes things happen that we can't put together and we can't make sense out of it. But what you can rest on is God is good and God watches over His word to perform it. And He sees the end from the beginning. And when we're not seeing what we want to see and we're not knowing what we don't, you know, understanding, then He can give a peace that surpasses our understanding. God's trustworthy and God is good. So you keep believing, you keep praying, you keep fighting the good fight, you keep contending, but don't you allow the enemy of your soul to try to convince you that God is not good, or to come and condemn you, to make you feel like all this is happening because somehow you're a failure. And I'm not saying we don't. The first thing we do in trouble is, Lord, is there something I need to be doing I'm not doing, or something I need to stop doing I am doing, or something I need to make right? Yeah, you try to make all that right. But then you go back to warring, you go back to standing, and don't allow the enemy to get you under condemnation, child of God, warrior of the King. He's trustworthy, and He loves you, and He's for you, and He's not against you. So Peter says, therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator. And I'm not trying, listen, in no way am I giving God credit for what the devil does. I'm just saying when the devil's bringing his, the worst that he can bring to your doorstep, that God is still good and God will be faithful and God can be trusted you and He's going to see you through what you're going through. And the good news for the believer is if it comes to time when He calls you home, folks, the truth is that's an upgrade. I mean, our faith becomes sight. It doesn't mean that that we don't have to process our grief and pain here. Many of us have had to do that at different levels and different degrees. But we win. We overcome. Because Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave, our resurrection awaits. An age is coming where there's no sickness or death. I've already talked about that. That awaits us. That's all part of the good news for God's people. But again, having said this, that doesn't mean that there won't be times in our life where there's struggle and where there's hardship and they're suffering, and that doesn't mean there won't be times when we're scratching our heads because we can't put it all together and it doesn't make sense. But even in those times, our good Father will give us a peace that surpasses our understanding. We have to surrender our ability to understand things sometimes in order to move into that place of peace, of just knowing and trusting God. God is good. God is love. And I'm so grateful for those truths. Well, oops, I've gone past the time I normally try to go past today, but it just felt like I needed to do that today. And I pray you be encouraged. Know that God loves you. And I bless you and love you all. Tomorrow morning, 10:30, the Lord willing, be back here. And we'll go a little bit further along with this subject. I pray you have a blessed day.